NAFI faces what protesters call a fork in the road today. Diamond is softening its warnings about Tealer diesels. And Florida's Supreme Court could end introductory rides for kids. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, December 15, 2008. A protest by some members of the National Association of Flight Instructors against the group's board of directors may be concluded dramatically today. According to Rich Stoll, 2006 National Flight Instructor of the Year, a NAFI Master CFI, and a spokesman for the protesters, if the organization fails to satisfy the group's concerns today, it will trigger the formation of a competing organization for flight instructors. Stoll says Experimental Aircraft Association President Tom Poberesny will conduct a conference call today with four members of the NAFI Board's Professional Standards Committee to discuss a dispute which centers on an alleged attempt by the board to remove two popular directors and move oversight of NAFI's Master Instructor Program from the committee to NAFI headquarters. Stoll calls today's conference a fork in the road. While the administration of the Master Instructor Program is what's generating the most discussion, the underlying issue which really threatens to split the group is bylaw provisions which do not allow members a vote in elections for directors. Stoll's protest group, called TBO NAFI, for Take Back Our National Association of Flight Instructors, claims to represent 400 members, or about 7% of the total membership, and has been fighting to be included in NAFI decisions despite having no official standing. Watch our website later today for breaking updates at aero-news.net. Diamond Aircraft President Peter Maurer sent a letter last week to owners of his company's DA-42 Twin Stars, reassuring them that the situation regarding Tealert aerodiesel engines has improved considerably since the early dark days of Tealert's insolvency. While still encouraging owners to upgrade to gasoline-fueled Lycoming O360s or the forthcoming Austro Engines diesel, Maurer says, quote, "Despite the difficult limitations imposed by the insolvency, TAE is genuinely working on improving their support, reducing the operating cost, and increasing the reliability of both the 1.7 and 2.0-liter engines," unquote. Maurer adds that Diamond has resumed deliveries of new Tealert 2-liter-equipped planes to specific customers, although all future Twin Stars ordered will come with either Austro or Lycoming power. For those owners stuck with the older, more troublesome 1.7-liter Tealert diesels, Diamond will accommodate upgrades to the 2.0 by providing free airframe parts. You can find more detail in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. A ruling last week by the Florida Supreme Court could pose trouble for programs that introduce young people to their first airplane flights. The Associated Press reports the state court ruled 4-1 that parents cannot waive liability for their children who participate in motorsports or other activities that carry a higher degree of risk. The ruling came as a result of the death of a 14-year-old boy at an Okeechobee County motorsports park in 2003. A lower court ruled the facility was not liable for the boy's death since his father had signed a liability waiver. That decision was later overturned on appeal, and that appeal was upheld Thursday by the state Supreme Court. Justice Harry Lee Anstead wrote in his opinion on the decision, quote, "Our holding is narrowly directed at those commercial operators who wrongfully and negligently cause injury," unquote. But he apparently spoke only for himself. In a footnote, Chief Justice Peggy Quince added the decision, quote, "should not be read as limiting our reasoning only to commercial activity," unquote. The lone dissenting opinion was provided by Justice Charles Wells, who wrote the matter should be decided by legislative action and regulation, not by judicial decree. The one thing for certain is that the ruling has created lots of new billable hours for lawyers working on behalf of schools, scouts, and young Eagles pilots. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin is denouncing an Orlando Sentinel report that asserts he and members of the Obama transition team have butted heads over the future of the Constellation manned space program. The Sentinel report cited numerous anonymous sources in reporting Griffin allegedly told members of the Constellation team to watch what they say to members of the transition team regarding problems with the trouble-plagued program, and in particular the Ares 1 rocket. He was also accused of a heated exchange with Obama team lead and former NASA Administrator Lori Garver, in which he was quoted as calling her a liar for wanting to get a look at the project's progress. The Washington Post reports an email from Griffin to NASA employees Friday said in part, quote, This report, largely supported by anonymous sources and hearsay, is simply wrong. We must make every effort to lean forward to answer questions promptly, openly, and accurately, unquote. The Sentinel also reported Griffin has openly questioned the qualifications of the six-member transition team to make engineering-related decisions and still wants a one-on-one with President-elect Obama. Up next on ANN, Embraer gets FAA certification for the Phenom 100. The Marines defend a pilot whose fighter crashed into a California neighborhood. And airline pilot hiring reaches a post-9/11 low. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 15th. I'm Paul Plagg. In announcing the Brazilian certification of its Phenom 100 light jet last week, Embraer officials said FAA certification was expected soon and the beginning of deliveries to customers would follow in a few weeks. They apparently knew whereof they spoke. On Friday, the company announced the FAA has certified the aircraft, and first deliveries will begin next week. Luis Carlos Afonso, Embraer's executive VP for executive jets, says the company is thrilled. Quote, U.S. certification validates the jet's design and its suitability for one of the most important business aviation markets, unquote. The FAA granted a U.S. type certificate based on Brazil's National Civil Aviation Agency's type certificate that was issued last Tuesday. EASA certification is expected in the second quarter of 2009. As with the Brazilian approval, the FAA certifies the Phenom 100 for operation in all conditions, day and night, VFR and IFR, and flight into known icing. In briefing members of Congress on Thursday, Marine generals said the pilot of a stricken F-A-18D Hornet that crashed into a residential area adjacent to Marine Corps Air Station Miramar had correctly followed procedures in his attempt to land at the military base. Representative Duncan Hunter, the top Republican on the House Armed Services Committee, had requested that briefing. Afterward, his spokesman, Joe Casper, said, quote, the Marine Corps, given only one engine had malfunctioned and the aircraft was running fine on the second motor, felt comfortable directing that airplane into Miramar. Altitude, terrain, and airspeed made it very difficult to divert anywhere else, unquote. He added that the emergency landing at Miramar was not without precedent. The unidentified pilot of the jet ejected and was described as shaken up, but otherwise okay. Officials from the Marine base, city, police, and fire officials faced about 300 residents at a community meeting Friday night and heard calls for remedies ranging from procedural changes to canceling an upcoming Blue Angels show at Miramar. Worth noting, the base was there before the housing development. Over the next several weeks, the Marines are removing wreckage and cleaning up the accident site. Investigators from the military and the National Transportation Safety Board are cooperating. In a reflection of the slumping economy, airline pilot hiring totaled only 133 for the month of November, according to AIR Incorporated. The airline industry hasn't seen pilot hiring numbers this low since November 2001, 2 months after 9/11. Out of the 175 airlines reporting, only 54 were hiring. National carriers added 62 pilots, followed by non-jet operators with 20. Jet operators finished in third with 13. For the second month in a row, there was no hiring activity by any of the 15 major airlines. Pilot furloughs continued to increase from 4,052 in October to 4,466 in November. AIR plans to hold an airline pilot job fair in Atlanta in the spring. and it looks as if that slump will continue. The Air Transport Association is forecasting a 9% year-to-year decrease in the number of passengers who will travel globally on U.S. airlines during the 21-day winter holiday travel season. That spans this Thursday through Wednesday, January 7th. The number of available seats has also declined 9% from the same period a year ago, which should result in full or near-full flights throughout the holidays. ATA projects the busiest days will be this Friday, December 19th, and Saturday, December 27th. On these days, ATA estimates that planes will average 90% full. That's average. ATA VP and Chief Economist John Heimlich observed, quote, "All signs suggest that the schedule cuts prompted by high fuel prices in 2008 will deepen in 2009, primarily due to the rapidly deteriorating economic environment and the volatility of the industry's cost of operations," unquote. The association is pushing for continued work on congestion and delays, even with fewer planes flying. ATA President James May commented, quote, "We're pleased that the industry has achieved significant improvements in on-time operations and in improving the customer experience. Carriers continue to work internally and with government to find ways to further reduce delays, especially over the holidays," unquote. Still ahead, volunteers fight an uphill battle to save a Florida airport. An unusual plot twist saves a small Missouri airport. And Afghan President Hamid Karzai visits the USS Theodore Roosevelt. You're listening to Aeronews.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, December 15th. I'm Paul Platt. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association told ANN recently about one airport's efforts to reach out to its community and generate interest and enthusiasm in a facility some local residents perceive as a liability. Pilots flying from Venice Municipal Airport in Florida used a local holiday parade and airport birthday celebration to reach out to the non-flying public, a move they believe helped engender goodwill for their airport despite long-running battles over noise and safety issues. AOPA says over 3,000 people attended the December 6th birthday bash and airport open house for Venice Municipal. Thousands more saw the airport in a new light after the Venice Aviation Society Incorporated, or VASI, a local pilots group, had a float in the community's holiday parade. Nick Carlucci, president of VASI and an AOPA member, called both events, quote, "Grand Slam home runs, and the outreach will continue," unquote. Like many other airports of similar size, VNC has been under attack by a small but vocal group of NIMBYs. But there has been progress. In 2006, AOPA President Phil Boyer joined government officials to celebrate the reopening of the field's primary runway. But the Venice City Council disbanded the Airport Advisory Board after it called for improvements and has struggled to develop an updated master plan for the airport that complies with FAA requirements to maintain airport safety and utility. The story of another embattled airport has taken an unusual turn. After supporters of Missouri's Festus Municipal Airport failed to stop a plan by Festus City Council to sell the facility off, they managed to raise enough money to be the high bidder. Citizens for Airport Economic Expansion member Terry Probst told the St. Louis Suburban Journals, quote, "We can sleep at night now. A couple of years ago, it was very bleak. Some members had picked out another airport and were ready to rent hangars," unquote. When City Council voted to sell the land to fund public works, a group of airport supporters who wanted to buy and upgrade the field formed the Airport Investment Group and placed a bid. The only other bid came from a mining company. The final purchase price was not reported, but was said to be well below the city's asking price of $3.8 million. The facility was appraised at $2 million. Probst says upgrade plans include an 800-foot extension to the 2,200-foot runway, with further lengthening in years ahead to accommodate turboprops and light jets. The investors may need FAA and other government funding to follow through. The U.S. Navy and the crew of the USS Theodore Roosevelt have been helping secure the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan as part of Operation Enduring Freedom for some time, but Afghan President Hamid Karzai had never been aboard to see the ship until last week. On Thursday, Karzai flew aboard for his first ever visit to a U.S. aircraft carrier to gain a better understanding of how the U.S. Navy conducts operations in the anti-terrorism effort. His escort for the visit was Vice Admiral Bill Gortney, commander of U.S. Naval Forces Central Command. Quote, President Karzai was able to see firsthand the professionalism demonstrated by our personnel and gain a better understanding of how we do operations, unquote. The tour included the flight deck, the bridge, an aircraft squadron's ready room, and the ship's combat direction center. Captain Ladd Wheeler, the Roosevelt's commanding officer, commented, quote, We were honored to host President Karzai today. He was impressed with the sailors he met, as well as the dedication shown by them in the amazing work they do, unquote. Theodore Roosevelt and Embarked Carrier Air Wing 8 are currently deployed to the U.S. 5th Fleet area of operations. And finally, with New Year's Day approaching, we all anticipate watching our local TV news and seeing reports of the first baby born in 2009 from our local hospitals. Perhaps taking a cue from that annual rite, Southwest Airlines chose to celebrate its 30th year of operation in Amarillo, Texas, with a firstborn baby contest there. The family of the first baby born in Amarillo on Friday was awarded 4 round-trip tickets on any Southwest flight. The parents of the newborn baby girl were given the tickets Friday afternoon. The new mom said it was quite a surprise, and you just know the tickets will come in handy for grandparents. Southwest Airlines started service in Amarillo on December 12, 1978, with 5 nonstop flights. The celebration by Southwest on Friday is not to be confused with the first baby born contest at Midland, Texas in May of 2007. That one happened aboard a diverted American Airlines flight, where passengers started a pool to bet which pregnant woman would deliver first during a 10-hour tarmac stranding. Completely different event, not a celebration at all. And that's the latest from Aero News. One of the events described in the last story was a dramatization. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller about flying at night. It can bring both dangers and opportunities. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.